A lot of foggery out here. How was it coming in to the studio?
Terrible. Worst days to drive. I mean, look around you. Yeah. Can you see 10 feet behind you?
No.
No.
Out these windows?
Right.
No.
Well, you'd have to have eyes in the back of your head, first of all.
Well, I think what he meant is if I turned around, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To be clear about that.
But if anybody has eyes in the back of their head, it's you. By the way, question for you. Somebody asked me this last night. They said, ask King John, what was it like to be around when Michael Jordan was good? Somebody asked me that last night. And I said, you know what? I'll ask him.
You weren't? You're too young for that?
I was born in 89, so I don't remember. By the time he hits 98, he's got 6 rings, right? But what was it like to be...
Did we appreciate what we had?
What was it like to be around when he was the best? I don't know what that's like. I think you do.
I covered him when he was a rookie. I was covering them, well, for GN, actually, up in Milwaukee. So when they would play the Bucks, I would interview Michael Jordan and cover the Bulls.
I remember, I wish I had a good snappy answer for you, but I will say this. I do think we had a sense of appreciation. We're watching Babe Ruth in real time. We're watching, I don't know, who are those people that you look back and go, how great would it be to go back in time and watch Babe Ruth play? We were watching Babe Ruth play of baseball.
Walter Payton.
Basketball.
Michael Jordan.
Kind of. Michael Jordan might even transcend Walter Payton and the rest of them. His career was longer, and he's got more championship rings, and he just did things you weren't seeing before. And I only went to one Bulls game in that run. We didn't have tickets. For a lot of that time, I was living in Peoria. But I do remember one time I drove up from Peoria. I was doing the morning radio show, and I had to drive back and be on the air at 5 o'clock in Peoria the next morning. So I drove up to Chicago, got my dad. Somehow I got tickets. We went to a Bulls game just for the purpose of saying we saw it in person. And then after the game, 10:30, dad goes back to Joliet, and I drove back to Peoria to do my show. That's how I wanted to at least say I got the box checked. And the Bulls wiped out New Jersey or New York or somebody. It wasn't even close. And we were sitting in the roof of the thing. But every seat was filled. Everybody was digging it. There was a play. This is the play that I remember. It's the only thing I remember on the floor that day. There's a ball in the right corner. Michael Jordan is near the ball. And before the ball bounces out of bounds, he just reaches out with his hand and palming it, grabs it.
Like, come on.
You and I would a tennis ball. It's going on. He just goes,
a golf ball.
I know, like he had glue on his fingers. And it was the weirdest thing to remember about Michael Jordan, but it was like so athletic, so cool. You realized how large and strong he is. And I don't know, it just, the crowd went, whoa. Like we've seen him dunk before, but that was just odd. And it was fun. And that was the ooh moment for us at that game. Then I got in the car and drove home. But you knew you had to see one if you could. And by the way, one last thing about that. I believe it was Bob Green. Somebody wrote, it could have been Mary Schmick. There was some columnist in the Tribune. And they said, if you have a ticket to a Bulls, if you have Bulls season tickets, you need to share one. Because people will say, I lived in Chicago while Jordan was playing. I didn't go to a game. But you didn't have tickets. If you have a bunch, you should share one.
He could fly. And at one point in his career, he was averaging 37 points a game. 37 points a game is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Dave, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hey, Dave.
Hi, John. Back when they were building the United Center, was going to at that time be called the New Chicago Stadium, I produced a video that was to sell the skyboxes. And Jordan appeared in it. We shot him up at the arena in Detroit in one of their skyboxes. And I had asked if he would not wear a white shirt because it bloomed on video.
Yeah.
We get there, and he had a white shirt on, immaculately dressed. And so I was introduced to him, and he shook my hand, and I mentioned the white shirt, and he looked at me with this cute little grin and said, I'm on the cover of Gentleman's Quarterly this month. I always wear white shirts.
So this is going to be your problem to fix, huh?
yeah, it was. And we did the whole thing. I mean, it was all about 22nd take, but we did it in one take. But you know, you got to do a cover take. And I said, that was real good, Mr. Jordan. Let's just do a second one just to make sure. And again, with that twinkle, he goes, He goes, I don't do second takes. It was just cute.
Yeah, well, that sounds like him, doesn't it?
See, it's funny you say it was cute, because if he was half as good, we'd be talking about what a jerk he was.
If it was me, it'd be obnoxious. But again, I probably wouldn't have been as cute as he was. Dave, I got to go. Thanks for the call. Sam Panionovic follows sports wagering. We asked him to come in and watch the prop bets for us, right?
Right.
So what are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking
at this
current...
What's a prop bet? How did these start?
So, all right, these started, actually, you remember 1985. We're going back in the time machine again. The Chicago Bears, when they were in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, when the Chicago Bears were really, really good. The first big prop bet was at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. Will Refrigerator Perry score a touchdown?
Really? That was the first bizarre bet.
And it opens up at 20-1. So $100 bet times 20 is a good amount of money. It goes from 20 to 18 to 16 to 13.
Meaning that as we get closer to the game, people are starting to think.
People are hammering this bet. They're hammering it. They're betting everything. They're betting 20. They're betting 50. They're betting 100.
So then the odds go down, because if it does happen, the bookmakers don't want to pay that high a multiple.
It's a market. It's like the stock market, only it's sports betting. It's the same thing, the same principles. So everybody's betting this prop bet. And what happens in the Super Bowl, they don't give the ball to 34,
I know,
Walter Payton.
I know.
They give it to 72, who rumbles in the end zone. And every casino in Vegas that is taking this bet has to now pay these ridiculous odds out.
Do you think those two events are related? That is, did the Bears know how much money was riding on that? Did Mike Ditka have a bet? Because if Ditka had money on that and he gives the ball to Refrigerator, that's a scandal!
But the maximum bet is like $100. You think Mike Ditka would risk it all for $100?
Yes!
No, and that's, you know, I'm glad you asked that, because when this got legalized, oh, you got a break, sorry.
No, I don't. No, I'm wiggling my wrist, but we'll break in a minute. Finish the story.
So, I forgot where I was. I was thrown off.
When this got legalized, I was insinuating that maybe a coach or a player would throw the game for the bet.
Right, okay, so on May 18, PASPA says you can now, PASPA gets struck down, you can now bet on sports. The biggest question I got was, well, what will stop players from, you know, throwing games? And I thought, I don't think that'll ever happen. But now you look at the Astros situation with the knocking on garbage cans and, you know, signaling on the scoreboard and all that. The integrity of the game was the biggest issue. Everybody thought the leagues would be unable to control it. And you're seeing that right now with the, I mean, that they changed baseball with what they did.
The Astros did with
their
cheating.
Yeah.
Changed baseball going forward,
yes,
maybe,
right,
because it had been happening, and who knows on with how many teams, right? So are you worried then that legalized wagering is in fact going to imperil the integrity of the sports more than you thought it was going to?
It's an interesting question now. I mean, if you're making $15 million as a baseball player, do you care about 10 grand here and there? I don't know. These are the questions I ask, but I never thought we'd be talking about World Series champions cheating at the pinnacle of their sport.
What was your recommendation for MLB then? What should they do about this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Bertrand wanted all the individual players found and hit with large sticks. He wanted them all malleted. I said, I don't think that's fair, reasonable, or you can even ascertain who was cheating and who wasn't. Steve seems to think that you can. I think the penalty just needs to go to the owner and the managers, which they did, but ridiculously low. $5 million? Are you kidding me? Steve's got $5 million.
You want $5 million again this weekend?
I thought, if really, Major League Baseball, if this is a stain on your sport, and Sam, you're probably right.
There have been stains on the sport forever, though.
Okay,
I mean, how fun was 98 with Sammy Sosa hitting 66 home runs?
Do you think we could go back to 97 and they could change it, would they?
The steroids brought the sport back. They literally brought it back.
Do you think so? Do you think that steroids...
100%.
Well, there's a news click.
And then all those guys retire, and then we knock them down.
There was no fallout after Sosa and Maguire were in that home run battle? I don't remember.
Huge fallout. But remember, what was it like being at batting practice on Waveland Avenue when Sammy Sosa was hitting home runs?
It was a lot
of fun.
Everybody
was there.
I know, but that's like the short-term fix without regard to the long-term health.
There was a wider reaction to this, though, with those two, with Cora and was it Beltran being fired?
Yeah.
You know, the would-be managers and the manager. I think... That shows that other teams are taking it seriously, too.
Yeah. We need to pause. We actually have time for a couple quick calls here. And then we got to get to the prop bets. You've got So the money was on Fridge. Walter Payton doesn't score the touchdown. William the Refrigerator Perry does, which was maybe not fair to Walter Payton. I don't know what fair is. I mean, the team won, and he didn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but that seems to be a small slight considering how great he was. But then there's other prop bets since then, right?
I'll give you a quick example. Total points by Robbie Gould, former Chicago Bear kicker. How many points will he have? Field goal is three.
Well,
extra
point is one. He's going to be in the Super Bowl?
The Bears cut him. They didn't think he was any good.
Okay, has that been in the papers?
Total
too?
Points, 8.5. That's the
for Robbie Gould?
Over under. So if he makes three field goals, 9 points, that's over. That's the number, Robbie Gould, 8.5 points.
Where do I go, producer LF2 line? Let's talk to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, I'm curious regarding sports betting. If someone placed a legal bet in Nevada on baseball against the team that cheated, and now it's been proven that they cheated, can they sue to get their money back?
I texted this question to Sam this week.
Joe, it's a great call.
What if I bet on a team that we later find out cheated? Then what happens to the validity of that bet?
You said, what if I bet on the Dodgers to win the World Series?
Exactly.
The Dodgers lost to the Astros in 2017. And you said, if I bet on the Dodgers and I lost.
But now baseball said that the Astros cheated. Do I get my money
back?
That
was your question. Do I get my money? Sportsbooks would say no. Sportsbooks would say take it up with the league.
We'll pick it up here in a minute. John Williams here, following the sports wagering world, is Sam Panayanovich. He visits with us frequently. Now and again, you hear his voice on our radio station, and he co-hosts actually one of the podcasts that we do here, Legal Face-Off, or MCs it, or something like that.
MCs right? is a great word.
Yeah. By the way, a couple quick calls about something that you brought up. Gail, you're on WGN. Hey, Gail, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Michael Jordan, in the time that he was in his prime, I was on a tour in Florida, and you know, and they from people from all over the world, you know, go to Florida, and on the ship was people from Sweden. They couldn't speak English, and they were asking people, where are you from? And we said, Chicago. And these Swedish people with broken English said, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And it was all and then they were like, and they were smiling, and the, they were Michael Jordan, and they wanted to practically touch me as though I was a representative of Jordan. Same thing happened 2 years later when we were in Mexico City, with they, and we couldn't speak Spanish, and they couldn't speak English, and we were talking to a couple that could. And they, and then they were saying, and we were at the same food stand, and they said, well, you know, we said, and we said, we're from Chicago. And the guy goes, Michael Jordan.
It's the international language. Two words. Yeah.
The only thing we could connect with anybody in the world was Michael Jordan. So he was famous.
Yeah, like few people have been in our lifetime. I mean, you probably count on two hands the number of people that transcend Muhammad Ali, whoever the Pope is at that time. I mean, Jordan is in that arena.
Just the basketball player from North Carolina. Everybody knows 23, ironically, because of the Olympics. Because finally the NBA was letting players go back to Olympic play.
Oh.
The Dream Team in 92. That's why he's the best. He changed. He took the game from America to around the world.
Probably didn't hurt that he was selling Hanes underwear and Coca-Cola and Nike shoes and
Gatorade.
Stuff like that, too. And he was always a positive, shiny face. And we were the beneficiaries of that, I think, that way. If you said to people in Mexico or China or Florida right now, Chicago, what comes to mind? It might have been Michael Jordan.
Al Capone.
But Al Capone and the gangsters, which is weird because we don't even think about that. And it's not really a component of our personality. It's not contemporary at all. And then crime. I think people think of Chicago as a place where there's a lot of gunfire. We need another Michael Jordan. Real quick call before we go back to the prop bets. Hey, Chuck, jump in there. You're on the air. Hi.
Hello. Last summer, Dennis McKinnon, who's on the 85 Bears, came out with a book about the 85 Bears, and he swore 100% guaranteed that Mike Ditka had a prop bet that William Perry would score the first touchdown.
Maybe.
Well, I get your point, Sam, that what a stupid bet, because you can't make that much money on it relative to what you gain if you play the game
fairly.
If
you get caught, too, you're cooked. You're cooked.
Do you buy that, Chuck? Does that sound true?
You believe that, Chuck?
He was doing radio interviews, and that was the one story he was telling to sell the book.
McKinnon, huh? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's a good way to sell a book, I'll say that.
There's been a lot of athletes that have said a lot of things that weren't true. Let's be clear about that.
It's a great story. Thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
Have a good day. Prop bets. Okay, what have we got?
All right, I told you earlier, Robbie Gould, total points, 8.5. Did you make up your mind yet? Over, under?
I'm going to go the over.
Okay, and you're one of the greatest kickers that has ever graced Joliet.
I did kick for both Manuka and the Wolves of Joliet Junior College.
Joliet area, sorry. So Robbie Gould, total points, 8.5. So the point spread on the game, Kansas City, Las Vegas says Kansas City is a 1-point favorite. So essentially, flip the coin. It's going to be a toss-up game. The total in the game is 54 or 55, depending on which gas station that I go to, right?
So 27-28 is 55.
Correct.
So does that sound like a score?
You nailed it. That is the projected final score. Kansas City 28, San Francisco 27. That's what the odds makers are telling you. Of course, it won't land that way. Something wild will happen in this game, and that's how these games go.
Would you take the over or the under on that?
Everybody's picking the over, and that makes me scared. Everybody is saying the over. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City, fireworks, pow, 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 pow. And they said that last year, and the final score was, 13-3. It was one of the worst games we ever watched, and that total was 60.
Are you kidding? Who played last year? Has that been published?
Patriots and Rams. Uh-huh. You know more than you've let on.
Know that. You know, they ought to write these things down.
That's what makes me nervous, because when everybody says pow, 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 usually we're out of gunpowder.
Yeah. Okay, give me another prop bet.
Let's see. Let me pull up the sheet. There are literally 37 pages of props. First rushing attempt by Jimmy Garoppolo, who played his high school football in Illinois, went to Eastern Illinois. First rushing attempt, Jimmy Garoppolo, 2.5 yards, over or under?
Really?
First rush. Now, a sack is negative. That counts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, but a scramble does, too, and usually then they get past the line of scrimmage.
Do they, though? What if he gets 1 or 2 yards? Then you lose.
Going to do the over.
Okay, you're going to take the over there. Longest touchdown of the game. This is a fun one because this lasts the whole game. Longest touchdown of the game, 47.5 yards.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
So you're rooting for 50
if you
yards.
Take that one, yeah.
Or how about a kick return or a punt return?
I know, Mr. Pow, Pow, Pow. I'm going to go under. It'll be a great game, blah, 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 but 47, you don't see that often in the Super Bowl. I'll do the under.
First score of the game, touchdown, any other score?
Oh, really? I get any other score?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if that's a field goal or safety?
Any other score pays you 1.6, too, so 100 makes you 160 if you take any other score. Field goal, safety.
I don't know. Steve, you got an opinion on this one?
Well, I was thinking safety right away. The Bears started theirs with a kick return, right?
How about that?
Yes,
now, Steve brings
did.
That up. Devin
that
Hester.
Was fun.
That year when Devin Hester ran the opening kickoff back.
And fun fact about that, the Bears have not scored a point since.
Devin Hester opened up at 25-1 to score the game's first
touchdown.
Are
you kidding?
25-1.
That's all. I mean, I know he was sensational that year, but you think
those
are
the odds. So 25-1, those are pretty good odds.
And then he did.
He took the opening kickoff back.
People must have been going crazy that had that.
We were. I was at the game, and then we stopped going crazy because Peyton Manning tore us apart.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we are on, we did the 47 yards. What was the one we were just doing?
47 yards, longest touchdown.
Touchdown,
first score. Touchdown, any other score?
I'm going to go with it's less dramatic than you want it to be. I'll be under. It's not the 7, it's the 3 of the 2.
This is the most important one.
Okay.
What color will the Gatorade be that is dumped on the winning coach? Actually, the language is what color liquid in case it's water. Clear is an option. Orange, yellow, blue, purple, red. What color is the Gatorade?
I don't know what they normally throw these days. I like orange Gatorade. Aren't those containers usually orange?
Usually a bucket with a lot of ice and a liquid that gets dumped on the coach.
Yeah.
What color is the liquid?
I got to bet on
that. This is one
of
the most popular props.
Is it really?
This and the coin toss.
I also saw, will there be butt cleavage by J-Lo?
Mm-hmm. Will J-Lo wear a hat? Will J-Lo show cleavage? Will J-Lo do this? Will J-Lo do that?
Okay, so I'm going to go orange.
Okay. You're literally just throwing darts here, and that's the best part about it.
That's what really do you have some? Should I be more studied on the color of the beverage?
The point is, all you're trying to do if you're a bookmaker is give me more cereal in the cereal aisle. The more options I have, the more I'll bet.
People will bet on the coin flip.
It's one of the loudest moments in Vegas.
Isn't that the dumbest bet? That's like in Uncut Gems where they bet on the opening tip and the guy looks at him and goes, that's the stupidest bet you could make.
I have been in a sports book in Vegas during the Super Bowl. When the coin flip lands, there is elation and there is, oh, and a sports book will be up or down $30,000 because everybody bets tails.
Like, really?
Everybody bets tails. We're talking 70% of the money that comes in is on tails.
Well, then I would bet heads just because it's...
It's a coin! You have no idea. But people bet it, and that's the point.
Well, it is kind of fun, and I think what that does is it enables people who don't know what the rushing statistics... I don't know anything about football, but I know 50-50. That's fun. Now it's just fun, right? That's a fun bet.
National anthem length, by the way, a minute 59.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, who's singing it again?
Demi Lovato.
She's... tight. She's. I don't think she's a show off. I'm going to go under.
You never know. Sometimes they hold free for 20 seconds.
Is that what they do?
The whole bat.
Land of the free.
They hold it. Yeah. Your glass is shattering around you.
And you're like,
looking at your
under,
phone.
Under.
No!
Under. Cutter Mike.
And the home of the brave. And you're like, oh, I lost by a second.
Thank you. The funny thing is, too, basketball, football, baseball, where some bizarre play happens at the end. The guy dunks when he could dribble out or something like
Totals
that.
Totals 207. It's 105 to 102. And at the end of the game, somebody goes on the floor and just windmills a dunk. You think it doesn't matter, but it does.
And all of a sudden, money changes hands.
Mm-hmm.
Got another bet for me, Sam?
First rushing attempt. No. Let me answer that with a story. Peyton Manning, total yards 1 year. Was 2.5 total rushing yards. I don't have another bet, so I'm going to punt here. He's on 4 at the end of the game. And what does he do when they're in the victory formation? He takes two steps back
and takes
and
a
takes
knee.
A knee.
And that's minus 2 yards.
And he lands on 2. So if you had over 2.5, it was literally in the bag. They call hike. 2 yards back,
knee,
2 yards,
and
you lose.
You lost $4,000.
Or you win.
Yeah,
or you win.
Which way you take it. All right, Sam, well, we'll follow up on where the odds are on these. Maybe the game, when is the game going to be?
Sunday, not this
published?
Sunday.
Right.
Next Sunday.
Well, then maybe you come by next Friday as
maybe,
well.
Maybe I will.
All right. Sam Panionovich watches the world of wagering for us. It's